Morning, everybody. It's amazing. It's wonderful to see those of you that are physically here this morning gathering for our first time back to physically worship together at PMC. And it feels so good. So welcome and thank you for coming. And welcome as well this morning to all of those who are joining us online. We're now in this transition period of worship that we're starting today, trying to do something that's kind of like a hybrid thing, if you like, a worship experience that's really authentic and meaningful and purposeful for those that are physically here this morning, but also reaching to those who we know inevitably are unable to return just yet and so are watching online on YouTube or Facebook. So I would ask both congregations, those of you who are watching online and those of you who are physically here this morning, to be considerate of the other congregation. There's some things that we'll do that will be a bit different. Some of the songs and the hymns that we'll be playing, we'll be doing live, and some of the things, like speaking, obviously I'm here, but some of the things we will do using the projector. And the reason we do that is because then we can project it directly onto the YouTube or Facebook screens for those of you who are watching at home. So I hope your experience of that will be similar to the experience that you've had up to now. It is my prayer and my hope that whatever, wherever we are this morning, whether we're here physical or whether you're watching online, that all of us encounter something of the presence and of the wonder and of the majesty of God in our time together today. Just a note for those of you who are physically here about a couple of things. First of all, we will not be taking up an offering, as you can understand. We'll not be going around with a basket or anything. So if you would like to give financially for the work of the church, which we very much hope that you continue to do so, there are baskets as you leave. There's no communal singing, I'm afraid, but feel free to hum along with the hymns and the songs under your face covering. When service is finished, we can leave through either door. The doors at the front there will be open, as will the doors behind me here. Let's not chat inside. Let's move outside. And then once we're outside, yes, we can then talk to one another in groups of no more than six in a socially distanced, COVID-friendly kind of way. But it would be good to talk. The sun's shining, so we'll have opportunities to catch up with one another. Okay, it's time for us to begin our work. And we're going to start with a song that will be played through the projector here. So please do, if you're physically here, feel free to stand if you'd like to and hum along as we listen to one that I'm not sure that everybody will know. It's a song from last year by Hillsong called King of Kings, and it gives praise to God for all that God has accomplished for us in Jesus. So let's worship. Thank you.
To fulfill the law and promise.
I apologise for the smallness of the words if you're physically here. I couldn't see them at the back anyway, so apologies for that. And if you're watching from home, I'm sure you could see all the words. Let's pray, shall we? Glorious risen God, we do praise forever the King of Kings. It is so good for many of us to be back here in this place together today. And we praise you, God, opportunity to gather together as your church. We realize that many of our family are watching this online or unable to join us. But we do thank you, God, that we don't need to be physically together to still be family with one another. Brothers and sisters joined as your children, called to be your church, declaring your hope, your good news offered to all. We praise you for that new risen life that you've made possible for all of us and for the sheer joy of being alive to enjoy your world. And we praise you that you made us for fellowship with you and with each other, that even now we might experience something of that joy and glory that we shall know when all of creation is made one in your love. So thank you for all that you've done for us in Jesus. For his life lived out in your love, for his death as a demonstration of your grace, for his mighty resurrection as our hope for the future. And thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit who fills this whole universe and transforms our lives and the life of your church. Our loving and gracious God, whilst we rejoice that Christ is risen, we're still so often overwhelmed by our anxieties and our worries and our fears. We don't always live in the joy and the hope of resurrection. We know the love you freely pour out on us, but our lives often fail to reflect your love. We still struggle with our differences, with our petty disagreements, and we don't love one another as you love us. God, in your mercy, please forgive us when we don't mirror the reality of the empty tomb in our own lives. Forgive, cleanse, and renew us in the power of your mighty resurrection. Lift us up and restore us as your Easter people, full of your love, your joy, your hope, and your grace. God, we offer this time together to you now. May we give you our praise. May we sit at your feet, and may we experience more of you. May we know today that we've met with our risen Lord. Bless this time as we bless you, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, unfortunately, Sarah Hume can't be with us this morning, but there's physically, but there's been lots going on in the life of Sarah quite recently. And so this week, Fred caught up with Sarah, and we're going to play what she had to say. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined by Sarah Hume, who's going to tell us all about some exciting new changes. Sarah, yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Fred. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
So tell us first about your new role within the diocese. What is that and going to involve?
So I'm no longer working for the diocese.
Right.
So it's all changed. And I'm going to start a new role with the Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. At the start of May.
Brilliant.
So yeah, all change.
What's that going to involve then?
I know, it's a bit scary. So this is what happens when things start. Yeah, I get a bit grumpy,
right?
And a bit and a bit sort of frustrated. And I think sometimes that is God sort of prodding and prompting you that, you know, you start feeling a bit uncomfortable. So that started back in September, really, for me. And started wondering what might be next. Originally, I sent a quick message to David Crouchley, who was one of our former Methodist ministers here in Penrith. And he sent me a job through, which was like 2 days before closing date in September. And I was just like, oh, and it was great. It was a really interesting job, but it was based in Warwickshire. And I was just like, oh, well, I'm not going for that. I don't really feel like I need to move at the minute. Anyway, same job, came back up December as we're right in the middle of sort of really quite uncomfortable times at work. And it was home-based working from home. So I was like, oh, okay. So I'm going to start in May as the rural, I've got it written down because I keep forgetting what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be the rural mission and ministry officer. So that actually, in practice, that's part of the fairly new evangelism and growth team that the Methodists have set up as a sort of response to their ongoing sort of vision of God for all.
It's, you mentioned rural in your rather long job. Yeah. But what will that involve then?
So basically, it's about advocating on behalf of people within rural churches and rural communities.
Right.
Yeah. And I managed to somehow convince them that Cumbria was satisfactorily rural enough. Quite exciting, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And daunting and scary. And
I know. New jobs are always scary until you get past that first day. And you think, okay, yeah, this feels okay. This you know, this is where I'm meant to be. And it sounds as though it is. It sounds as though God was sort of pushing you sort of gently in sort of the right direction. So, that's going
to
be...
I like to think so, yeah. And it there's always that sort of uncomfortable bit. I think that discomfort for me is when I really recognise I need to start listening even more carefully and trying to suss out what it is. Why am I uncomfortable? What is God trying to say in this? And actually, in terms of adventure, you know, I quite like not knowing everything and just taking those risks. So, and look, who knows where it may end up.
I know.
So in a similar vein, you know, yeah, if we link into Tiddlywinks, then obviously this new role's full time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big change for me in that, you know, for the last 19 years, I've worked part time whilst the kids have sort of been growing up. And so I've obviously been able to do all sorts of volunteering and things on my days off or my day off. And so that's going to have to change as well.
Ending of seasons, I think, is okay. I think there are natural breaks within life where things sort of, they come to their natural conclusion. And, it is, as you say, it's always tinged with a little bit of sadness, but then you think, actually, somebody else is going to take this on for the new chapter. So,
absolutely.
That's really good. So are things is Tiddlywinks going to sort of continue in its same vein, or is it going to be slightly different, do you know?
Oh, I think it's all change. It's like, watch this space.
Yeah.
So basically, this time last year, when we went into the first lockdown, we offered weekly online sort of catch-up sessions.
Mm.
But actually, Tiddlywinks is always changing anyway, partly just because of the demographic. And so over half the group, I think 9 of our Tiddlywinkers were due to start school in the September anyway. So actually, that then felt like a bit of a natural pause. During the easing, we managed to meet outside just as a sort of informal sort of gatherings by parks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
As and when we've managed to do little walks, if even in sort of the one before Christmas, the lockdown, if there's been sort of, you know, one of the adults with a little kid and one of the leaders, we've met informally and just walked and talked.
Mm-hmm.
But it really felt like, certainly with the selling the bridge as well, which obviously was our base for the last 15, 16 years of Tiddlywinks life, that things had come quite a pause in some ways anyway. And so we've been looking and exploring, and I've, you know, definitely felt that outside is just the way to go at the moment, certainly with anything with under fives. So we're currently exploring with the new and the old team, along with the help of Paul, who's in his new role, Paul Rose with the outdoors stuff. What we can do and where. So we're just awaiting sort of confirmation for a bit of land we've got our eye on.
Oh, nice.
In the hope that we're going to go wild. So Tiddlywinks is going to go wild. Watch this space. People would say we've always been wild.
Yeah.
Certainly in society, it feels, doesn't it, like sort of outdoor stuff and well-being and being in nature seems to be really helping people sort of as they come out of this pandemic. And I've been acutely aware of, you know, how difficult it's been for people with under fives in particular, with everything that supports them stopping. And so actually, if we could open up something that resembles a supportive sort of place of welcome, of hospitality that we've had in the past, but it's safe and it's helping their mental health and well-being at the same time, then giving something of God and his love for them across, then I think, you know, for me, that's just something. So, you know, do, if for all those of you who pray for the families and particularly Winks, keep praying, but also just pray that we'd get all these risk assessments and all the forms boxes ticked and the permissions allowed. And I'm going to become one of those people that prays for Tiddly Winks rather than gets the privilege of going every week. So, yeah, as church, it's the same, isn't it? You know, just on a different scale, I think there's that urge to go back to find something that was and is somehow safe. And yet I think we need to be listening for what is it that God's asking us to do differently, or where should we be doing stuff? So,
yeah,
that bit about taking risks and just sort of going for it. And yeah,
thanks ever so much for joining me this morning, Sarah, and
you're very welcome
in all of your new adventures.
Thank you.
Wow. Sarah, if you're watching on home, they're clapping you. So yes, we'll continue, please, to pray for Sarah. She takes up this national role as rural and ministries officer with the Methodist Church, working with some great people, Trey Hall and Eunice Atwood, my old tutor. So pray for her in that role. And as Tiddlywinks starts on a new adventure of doing something in an outdoor space. We're going to, we're not going to sing again now. We're going to hear a hymn. If you're at home, you're going to sing again now. Here we're going to hum, and please stand if you'd like to as we listen to this hymn. This is Matt Beckingham, who we've played before. I think he's a Methodist, actually, but he does some hymns and he puts a slight different twist on them. So this is Matt Beckingham, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." Piano playing from Matt. Linda is now going to come and share a Bible reading with us.
So John 21, verses 1 to 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Thank you, Linda. So here we are then, back together physically as church, back to worshipping as a family, to sit at the feet of Jesus as a community of his followers. But not all of us are here, though, are we? Many are watching this online. Some still feel vulnerable and unable to return. And others don't want to return until we can sing out loud together and drink coffee together and not have to wear these face masks. You know, wherever you are today, it must feel a bit strange. For those here physically, it's not the same as it was, is it? And for those of you who are watching online, it must be weird viewing this knowing that it's the live stream of a physical service. So how does it feel for you, I wonder? This hybrid church, this in-between time. Earlier on, Fred interviewed Sarah about her new job and also the new direction that Tiddlywinks is going in. I wonder, did you ever leave a job that you were tired of doing to start a new one? How did it feel for you that first day that you started in your new job? That first time you walked into that new office or new factory or new shop? Or did you ever move house, perhaps, to a new area? I remember the day that Trace moved up north in 1997. It was exciting, and yet it was a bit scary too. That first day in your new home, it can feel disorientating and strange. You might feel nervous, apprehensive, a little worried. But at the same time, it's exciting, isn't it? It's all so fresh, so hopeful, so full of promise. So how does church starting again for physical worship together compare? For those of you who are here, does this morning feel like going back to the same old job you've had for ages, or that same old house that you've always lived in? Or is this more like the first day of a new job? The first day in your new home? And for those of you who are watching this online, how do you feel as others start to return? Are you comfortable with where you are, or do you long to join in physically here too? Has where you are now become the new normal for you, I wonder? And of course, right now we're in the season of Easter, aren't we? Just 2 weeks ago we celebrated Easter Sunday. And isn't Easter all about new beginnings, a fresh start? Easter surely says that despite how things feel, there is hope, there is a bright future. New life, being born again, becoming a new creation. These are all metaphors that the Bible uses to explain that Easter experience. Jesus died, but now Jesus is risen. And his victory over death heralds a new beginning. There's hope for a different world, for a new kingdom. Something so incredible and life-changing has happened that things will never be the same again. Suddenly there is life and purpose and meaning. There's a gospel to proclaim. There's a story to tell. You know, coming back to church together should feel like an Easter experience for us, as well as like starting a new job or being in a new home. This is the start of a new day of new possibilities. There's motivation for us to get on with the work. It won't be like before anymore. We're nervous and yet excited about what the future holds. Let's look at that text that we read, that Linda read to us from John 21. It describes a period shortly after Easter. And I think it has a couple of things to say to us today, whether we're here physically or whether we're watching online. In the previous chapter, Jesus has already met the disciples after his resurrection. They had met with the risen Jesus, and yet here in the very next chapter, we find them going back to what they'd always done, returning to life as it had been before. They went fishing and they caught nothing. You know, that reminds me of one of the dangers of us returning to physical church. Here we are, over the last year, then we've all, I hope, encountered God in different ways, new ways. We've seen and we've met with Jesus in ways that we'd not done before. But like those disciples, it's easy to just want to return to life as it was before. We could plan the recommencement of all the activities that we used to do, but then end up fruitlessly toiling all night, just like the disciples. Even though they'd been fishing for years, that night they caught nothing. Albert Einstein once said that insanity is doing the same things but expecting different results. And we could easily get dead busy with our church activities again, but end up catching nothing. You know, sometimes doing church can be soul-destroying rather than soul-feeding. It can drain you rather than fill you, sap you rather than sustain you. I'm sure none of us want to return to that. But then Jesus shows up on the shore and he says to them, do things differently. Try the other side. I know that you love throwing your net out that side of the chaps, but just humour me. Try the other side. And reluctantly they did. They tried the other side and they caught a bumper crop. You know, Jesus quite liked the other side, didn't he? 5 different occasions we read about in the Gospels, he went to the other side of either Lake Galilee or the River Jordan. He always goes there to do something different, to see people that he wouldn't meet on his side. Wonderful encounters always result in going to the other side. Go where you've not been before, Jesus says to them. Do something different. Try the other side. Maybe that's a challenge that the risen Jesus offers to you and I today. Maybe that's what we're being asked to do as we return physically to worship together. Don't go back to the way you did things before. Try the other side. And for those of you who are watching this at home, maybe it's nice sitting down to this with a coffee and a pair of slippers. Perhaps it's become quite comfy. But maybe you're not actually catching anything either. Maybe Jesus is saying to you at home, try the other side. And Jesus, well, he was waiting on the shore for them to join him. It is the Lord, they said, as they recognized him. He's over there and he wants us to come. He's inviting us to come and feast with him, to be where he is. You know, right now, today, as we gather physically or watch online, our risen Savior is on the shore waiting for us to join him. He's over there and he wants to feed us and commune with us and thrill us. So will we join him? Let's fast forward to the end of the story. After a hearty breakfast of bread and fish, Jesus takes Peter to one side. Peter, the rock, the one who denied Jesus 3 times, but who Jesus said would build his church. Perhaps Jesus puts his arm around Peter. They probably share a grin and a laugh at the joy of being together again. And then Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" 3 times he asks him the same question. Do you love me more than these? But what does Jesus mean? We think that he's referring to the other disciples who are still finishing off their barbecued fish on toast. Do you love me more than these? But I wonder if Jesus means something else. Perhaps Jesus is saying to Peter, do you love me more than these other things? More than this fishing? More than these barbecues on the beach? More than that old life that you used to live? More than the life that you've become accustomed to? What's more important to you, Peter? Going back to the way that things were before, or the future for you and all people, now made possible because I've conquered death and I'm risen? Peter, this is a new day. It's a new start, a new beginning. Peter, there's a gospel to proclaim. There's good news to tell. There's hope for a life that people never thought possible before. And it's all because of me, Peter. So do you love me more than all of this other stuff? Do you love me more than these? Today, I wonder if Jesus asks us the same question. Church, PMC, do you love me more than these? Do you love me and my hope for the world more than you love your church or your services the way that I know that you like them? Those hymns that you've always sang, the way you've always done things? Or if you're watching this online at home, getting quite settled now to just turning on the TV and watching this service on YouTube, Jesus may say to you, do you love me more than this new way of life that you've grown fond of? Do you love me more than all of this? It's a question, I think, for all of us to honestly consider. Am I really the one at the center of your lives? Jesus asks. Or have you found yourselves a new center? Is it really me you love more than anything else? Are you willing to make my kingdom, my gospel, my redemption of this whole universe the center of your life? How would we honestly answer, I wonder? Friends, it is the Lord, and he waits on the shore for us to join him and put him back at the very heart of our lives. And then Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. In John 10, which I think you'll be looking at next week, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd. It was time for Peter to go and find those other sheep and feed them. It was time for Peter to take this good news, this life-saving news of Jesus' victory where love wins and God reigns, to a world naive to the possibility of this new life. I'm alive, Peter. I have risen and there are people that need finding and feeding and fulfilling and sustaining. Will you go, Peter, and feed them? Don't just do what you did before, Peter, or what you're currently doing. Remember how I told you to cast your net on the other side? If you really love me more than all of this, Peter, then follow me and go and feed my sheep. Maybe God is saying the same thing to us. Isaiah 43 says this, forget the former things, do on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Friends, Easter is what fulfills those words of Isaiah. Easter tells us that there is a new day dawned, a new life that's been birthed. There are new opportunities. Jesus has risen. Yes, many of us are back now physically here together in this building, and hallelujah, isn't it wonderful? And yes, for those of you who are at home, I know you're nervous, but maybe you're quite comfortable too. But please, please, let's not go back to life as it was before or park up where we now find ourselves. Today marks the new day of new opportunities. This is the first day in our new house, the first day in our new job. So what are we going to do then, church? Because for me, it's time to realize that God isn't where God was anymore. And God may not be where we are now. Our Lord has risen, and he waits on the shore for us to join him where he is. It is the Lord, and he's inviting us to follow him. There's a risen Savior to meet and to be fed by. There's a job to do. There's a gospel to proclaim. There's a world that needs saving. There's a new beginning, a fresh start, a bright future, a new creation. We've been born again. A new life is possible. We do have hope for a different world, for a new kingdom, for a new way. Friends, a new day really has dawned. Jesus really has risen. So please, please, let's not do as we did before. Let's hear God's invitation to try the other side. And then let's hear Jesus as he says to us, people of Penrith Methodist Church, do you love me more than all of this? And if the answer is yes, then let's go and let's meet with the risen Jesus and let's eat with him. It is the Lord. He is waiting. And then let's find and feed some new sheep and introduce them to Jesus too. And may we go with joy in our hearts and a song on our lips and a fire in our souls, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I've asked Gareth if he can play some music to us as perhaps we spend just a couple of moments, a couple of minutes, quietly contemplating and listening to not what has Tim been banging on about, but what has God been saying to me this morning as I've sat and listened to that message? What is it that God is telling me? Is he encouraging me? Is he challenging me? I don't know, but Gareth's going to play and we'll just contemplate for a couple of minutes. And then Avril, while Gareth is playing, will come and lead us in some prayers for others. Thank you, Gareth.
Lord, we come to you in prayer. We know that we're living in a time when there is much uncertainty. COVID has affected the way in which we all live our lives. And today we look back at the funeral of Prince Philip, a life full of service and not afraid to tackle new ideas. We pray for the royal family in their grief, and with them all other families who are suffering as well, the pain of illness and bereavement. Now, in this Easter period, with its message of resurrection, we look forward to new life and new beginnings. We pray that as the current lockdown eases, this renewed life with all its opportunities will help us not just to look back but to move forward, because we know that Easter is about resurrection with new life and new beginnings. Our church family is now able, even if in a limited way, to come together again. And so we pray for your help in discerning what we should do and how we should go about it. After the resurrection, Jesus called on his disciples to try something different. Cast your nets on the other side. So, Lord, we ask for your help. Show us the way forward. And in this other prayer, there is a response. When I say, "Living Lord, help us to say it." And would you reply and mean yes? Living Lord, help us to say it. And will you reply and mean yes? Lord Jesus, we thank you for those who called to follow you across the years, for those who have had the courage to respond in faith. Help us to be ready to respond in turn, willing to commit ourselves to your service and to walk the way of the cross. When you speak your word, "Living Lord, help us to say and mean yes." When you ask us to venture into the unknown, to be strong, to be courageous, obedient and faithful, living Lord, help us to say and mean yes. When you ask us to listen to your voice, to your word that confronts or challenges, teaches and inspires, living Lord, help us to say and mean yes. When you ask us to reach out in love to the indifferent, the hostile, the unlovely, the unacceptable, living Lord, help us to say and mean yes. When you ask us to go out in your name, to speak, work, love and live for you, living Lord, help us to say and mean yes. Lord Jesus Christ, as you called the apostles at the start of your ministry, and as you have called so many others since, so your call comes to us.
urging us to respond in faith and to share in the work of your kingdom. When you speak your word, living Lord, help us to say and mean yes. In your name we ask it. Amen. And now we'll say together the Lord's Prayer, whichever version you want, but I'm doing it from the modern version. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Avril and Gareth. We're going to have our final song now, which Graham is going to play with us. I didn't know this when Graham, we were talking about it in the week, and Graham suggested a couple of ones. I saw the words of this song, which is called New Day, and I thought, wow, that's it. That fits exactly with what we've been thinking about this morning. So the words will be on the screen, and Graham will lead us. Thank you.
Jesus. Jesus, we found you.
Let's say a final prayer. Oh, wonderful risen Lord, we do want to be your Easter people. We thank you that in you we do have a new day, a new beginning, a fresh start. We are a new creation. Thank you that in you new life is possible. There is a different world, a new kingdom, a new way. As individuals and as a church, help us to hear your invitation to try the other side. May we listen as you ask us, do you really love me more than these? And may we respond as Peter did, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Help us to follow where you lead. Help us to grow in our love for you, and help us to share your love with all of those around us. So go with us now, in the power of your Spirit, so that we might love you and serve you as your church, as your people. And as we leave this time, may your blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and within us and all around us. Amen. Amen. Do join us again next week when, actually, I think it's a change to what's in the plan. It will be our district chair, the Reverend James Tebbutt, who will be taking our service next Sunday. So we'll see you all then. God bless.